Friends of the Cross, number 110, the homily, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the experiences which I suppose almost every devout person has felt at some time in his life is that feeling that he is to some extent out of favour with God. It's not just that we sometimes feel guilty, but we feel some kind of estrangement from God, either because we feel we have turned away from him, or because we feel he is displeased with us. We don't feel quite at home with him. If we often feel this uneasiness in God's presence, or that he is looking at us with distaste, we can hardly experience the peace and security that are needed for anyone to live a really good Catholic life. One cause of our discomfort is that we form an idea of God based on various relationships we have had with other people, including our own parents, instead of forming our idea of God and getting to know him solely through Holy Scripture and the teaching and example of Jesus. If we really appreciate God through his revelation of himself to us, then even our sins and failings, which we must always detest, will not separate us from him or cause us disquiet. They will cause us contrition, peaceful sorrow based on love and trust and confidence in God. God has revealed himself to us as Father, and not just as Father, but as our Father. Israel, or Ephraim, was a child of God, God's people, and see what God says of them. When Israel was a child, I loved him. I myself taught Ephraim to walk. I took them in my arms. I led them with the reins of kindness, with leading strings of love. I was like someone who lifts an infant close against his cheek. Stooping down to him, I gave him his food. And despite the fact that Israel and Ephraim have not understood that God was looking after them, and although they had sinned, God goes on to say that he will not express anger against them or destroy them again. He is Father, and he forgives. Saint Paul knew God as Father, and says that every family, whether natural or spiritual, takes its name, its nature, from the Father, not just from God, but from God the Father. And if we come to understand the kind of love that we receive from God because he is Father, then we find our hidden interior self no longer feels insecure or afraid of God's displeasure as a kind of threat, despite our continued failings. Knowing God as our Father enables us to have the strength to grasp the love of Christ, which is beyond all knowledge. It is a love that reflects or even passes on to us the Father's love, for Jesus told his disciples, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." He loves us with the love he receives from the Father, just as we ought to love one another with the love that we receive from Christ. It is a love sealed by a real personal relationship. Human fathers are not perfect, and all the good fatherliness in them is a shadow only of the perfect fatherhood of God. It is extremely difficult to make people realize what it means to have God as their Father, or for them to be his own child. This relationship of Father to Son and Son to Father is a unique one, and one which we see most clearly in the whole attitude of Jesus to his Father, as well as in his teachings. The relationship between God the Father and the human Christ was perfect, even when Jesus was in the depths of that most terrible agony in the garden, or in his inconceivable dereliction on the cross. We simply must have confidence in God, not only because he is love, not only because God loves us, not only because he is willing to forgive us our sins through Jesus Christ. We must love him because he is love, yes, but we must have absolute and unshakable confidence in him because he's our Father and we his own children, even though imperfect. We really ought to meditate on the parable of the prodigal son a great deal, for in that parable, Jesus is teaching us about God the Father, God your Father and mine, and about ourselves. All fatherhood on earth comes from God the Father, and our Holy Father Pope John Paul II knows about fatherhood and has given a brilliant exposition of the parable of the prodigal son in his encyclical letter on the mercy of God, an encyclical which we all ought to read and study. There's not time now to give an account of the Pope's exposition of the teaching of this parable, but one or two points might help us to realize better how to remain at peace and full of confidence long before we have conquered our faults and failings and sins. There are two points to learn from the parable, among others. One is the picture it gives of God our Father in his attitude to us when we have failed, and one is the effect of the sinful son's action on his own interior life. The most important possession of the son was his dignity as a son in his father's house. That's what he lost when he went away into sin. He went away to live as if he hadn't got a father. He had no thought about this dignity as a son in his father's house while he was still there, nor did he advert to the loss of it until the material pleasures he had thrown himself into ceased for him. When this did happen, when earthly self-indulgence let him down, he first thought of what material comforts he could get back, at least partly, and recover, if he went back home. But this thought of going back to his father pricked his conscience for the first time. And so he not only decided to admit his guilt, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you," but he realized the dignity that he had had before he left home, how he had lost that dignity. "I am no longer worthy," he said, "to be called your son." He expected to be treated from then on as a hired servant, knowing he deserved that. It's a terrible loss to be a hired servant in your own father's house. It's a great humiliation and a shame. Jesus said he would no longer call us servants but friends, because he has revealed the Father to us and taught us all about him and our dignity. The father of the prodigal son welcomes him back home with greater joy and love and help than he had never sinned and had been so deeply interiorly injured. The father is taught all his dignity as son straight away, and even increases it. So does God treat us if ever we have strayed away, lost our inconceivable dignity as sons of God, and then, even if at first for unworthy reasons, we have come back to him. The Pope points out that when the prodigal son was seen to be returning, his father had compassion. He had compassion and ran to meet him, threw his arms round his neck and kissed him. He did all this under the influence of deep affection. But this emotion has deeper roots in the father than this. The son's humanity had been lost and now was found. To the grumbling elder son, the father says, "Your brother was dead and is alive." The love for a son springs from the very essence of fatherhood, and therefore it is God's fatherhood that gives us confidence, not our own worthiness. The Pope even says, in analyzing the scriptural notion of God's mercy, that in having mercy on us, God is being faithful to himself, faithful to his fatherhood. God is faithful to himself in forgiving us, restoring our lost dignity, and treating us better, if anything, than if we had never fallen. God cannot deny himself, and he is Father. Surely, if we really come to know that God is Father to us and we sons to him, if we really become as little children to enter the kingdom of God, we shall never again lose our confidence in God our Father and our absolute security in his house. We return whenever we are sorry for our sins, and we are welcomed always by the same Father who loves us. At Holy Mass, we began with a penitential act, or even went to confession, perhaps, and in the sacrifice all our sins are washed away in the blood of Christ, and we are made ever more and more sons of the Father through living in his only begotten Son, and we do this by Holy Communion and having him live in us. We must not lose our self-respect, our sense of dignity, which is very real and very great and is a gift from God the Father, who, being Father, only knows how to love sons and daughters, for he cannot give a father's love to a servant. He cannot give a father's love to a servant. So he makes those he loves become intimately related to himself, no matter how far they have strayed. How long is it going to be before we really have confidence in our Father? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends of the Cross, number 110. The Conference. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a strange statement made by the Second Vatican Council, which Pope John Paul has repeated in his encyclical on the mercy of God and elsewhere. And perhaps it expresses an insight of his own, which as a young bishop at the Council he had included in the Pastoral Constitution on the Church in the modern world. The Pope says this: "We read in the Constitution Gaudium et Spes, Christ the new Adam fully reveals man to himself and brings to light his lofty calling, and does it in the very revelation of the mystery of the Father and of his love." The Pope continues, "The words I have quoted are a clear testimony to the fact that man cannot be manifested in the full dignity of his nature without reference, not only on the level of concepts, but also in an integrally existential way, to God. Man and man's lofty calling are revealed in Christ through the revelation of the Father and his love." And the paragraph in the Council document quoted by the Pope ends with the words, "Christ has risen again, destroying death by his death, and has given life abundantly to us, so that, becoming sons in the Son, we may cry out in the Spirit, Abba, Father." Jesus has revealed man to man by revealing the Father to us. It is by revealing the Father to us that Jesus has enabled us to know ourselves in our identity as men or women. It is in knowing the Father precisely as Father that we find our own individual, personal identity. Very many of our troubles, anxieties, perplexities, and frustrations come from not really knowing or appreciating or feeling what we really are individually. Our true identity is that of sons of God, and only by absorbing this truth into the very marrow of our bones do we become ourselves and feel whole, secure, normal, and at peace. Our basic identity is that of sons or daughters of God, and the Holy Father says we must absorb this truth not only intellectually on the level of thoughts or concepts or ideas, but in an integrally existential way. We've got to feel it in our very bones as existing. God is my Father. I am God's Son. I feel this deep truth in my very being if I want to be and know I am my true self. My identity is made known to me when Jesus reveals the Father to me. Think what it means to be a son, and I include daughter, of course. At the moment we have a Prime Minister who is renowned for her inflexibility and strength and determination. She has been nicknamed the Iron Lady, and she likes that term. Whenever she appears in public or on television, all she shows is strength, determination, and complete self-possession, possession, and certainty. She was recently interviewed on the television before millions of people and was asked about her son Mark, who at that moment had been lost in the Sahara Desert after entering a rather wild car rally. The Iron Lady broke down in full public view and cried. Any mother, any father is a different person when their own son is concerned. Fathers or mothers will go to the ends of the earth to find or rescue their sons, even if they've got themselves into trouble. Parents willingly, and sometimes in defiance of the police, pay over their whole family fortune or all their possessions in order to rescue a child, a son or a daughter, who has been kidnapped. When acting in regard to his own son, a man is a different person. He's a father. Nothing is too great to endure or give up for him, even if that son is worthless. If you ask such fathers or mothers why they are so concerned to go to such tremendous trouble for such a wayward and worthless person, they have one answer which seems to them absolute. He's my son. If a son is to be truly himself, he has to know himself, to feel himself as son, and not just as a person. And if he is to identify himself in his own consciousness as son, it is absolutely necessary that he experiences and receives the care not just of kind, helpful and supportive friends, but precisely that of a father, a parent. We only find out our identity by being and feeling ourselves to be sons or daughters. We first find this out from our own parents on earth, and if they fail to be fathers and mothers to us in the way they treat and train us, we go through life deeply wounded in our personalities, because we have not found our true identity. However, after that, we learn our identity by experiencing the fatherhood of God as Jesus reveals the Father to us, and we gradually become aware of being sons of God, and any wounds in our personalities can be healed. Unless you are so deeply aware that God is your father and you his son or daughter, and unless you feel in your bones that he is deeply magnetized in your regard because you are his son or his daughter, you will not find full freedom of spirit or security or peace or even human integrity. You cannot be holy unless you hate and fight all sin. You cannot be holy unless you deny yourself and take up your cross. You cannot be holy unless you love your neighbor. But none of these things is the very basis or essence of holiness. They all flow from the essence of holiness. The essence of holiness and of human wholeness is sonship, filiation. Unless you become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. You must be and feel yourself to be God's child, and he truly your father. Our religion is that of the family of God. He is our father, and we his sons and daughters. In the days of the Old Testament, the Israelites were God's people, and they did at times call him their father, but they used this term father in a metaphorical or analogical sense, and not with its full literal force. Before the coming of Christ, God had been revealed, and many of his characteristics or qualities, and we can find much inspiration in the Old Testament. But it was not until Christ our Lord revealed the Father to us from a completely Son's angle or point of view that God the Father was really revealed as Father. I think we may consider that one reason why the Son of God became man, and not the Father, nor the Holy Spirit, is that since we are called to be and created to be sons of God, we need a man who is by nature Son of God to reveal the Father to us as men. It is only if we become sons that we can know God the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, Jesus said. One could say that no one knows any father except that father's son or daughter. But Jesus not only said no one knows the Father except the Son, but added, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Our Lord chooses to reveal the Father to us in what perhaps is the only way worthy of God that it can be done. He reveals the Father to us by making us sons of God. Only sons of God can know the Father. And when the Father wants us to come to him, there is only one way in which he does it, only one way in which it can be truly done. He draws us to the Son. The Holy Spirit, whom we receive in baptism and confirmation, influences us not only by giving us supernatural life, but by giving us the grace of Christ, the supernatural life of the Son. So St. Paul tells us it is the Holy Spirit that makes us cry out, Abba, Father. You are my Son, this day I have begotten you. To be a Christian is to be transformed not just in God, but in the Son of God. If you notice how many times Jesus referred to himself as Son, you'll get some idea as to how important it is that God's self-revelation to us as Father has to come to us by knowing a human being who is all Son. It's not enough to have theoretical ideas about God as Father, or the Son of God as Son, or the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of Fatherhood and Sonship related in one. We have to be incorporated in Christ as well as listening to him. If we do not become sons of God, we can't receive the life that is in his living words, even if we do understand them. A good father has a good relationship with a good son. It does not consist in the father imposing duties on the son, or always correcting him, or being harsh with him. Yes, the father wants to be proud of his son. He wants the best for him. A good father is merciful and gentle and forgiving, yet not lacking in firmness, which helps the child to feel secure. A little child knows that it does wrong from time to time. It knows that it makes mistakes, some of them serious. It knows that it sometimes damages things, even valuable ones. But it always has confidence in its father. If a man is a different person in regard to his own son, so is a son a different person when with his father. You are my father. You are my son. I wonder if the greater need we have in order to become united with God is more sinlessness or more confidence. I suspect that it is lack of confidence that holds us back much more than sin. We must certainly avoid the heretical idea that if we have enough confidence in God, our sins don't matter, and that we are saved by confidence in God and not by good lives. On the other hand, for those who are sincerely trying to lead good lives and to avoid sin, I think almost always the lack of full confidence in God is the obstacle to their advance in union. You are my son. You are my father. Abba, Father. One of the ways of describing the path to holiness and union with God, which we have considered in past days of recollection, is that of abandonment to divine providence. Having absolute confidence in the providence of God, and accepting all that he sends or allows, and doing all he wants us to do or avoid. We should always remember that it is not just the watchful care of an infinite God, but of an infinite Father. Our incorporation in Jesus, our union with him through the sacraments and grace, wins for us an overwhelming, all-embracing care from God, which is that of a father for his own child. We have to open ourselves to it by being little children of God and feeling so. We have a Father in heaven who knows what we need before we even ask for it, and we should seek first the kingdom of God, the company of God's sons, and all that we need will be provided. All fatherhood comes from God, so much so that we must not attribute fatherhood to anyone but God in the absolute sense. If men become so different and tender towards their own sons, how much more should we love and adore and trust and live in joy and peace with God our Heavenly Father? If we live as sons of God, we live as ourselves and find wholeness as well as holiness. It is of supreme importance for us to have the right attitude to God and to cultivate the right feelings in the presence of our Creator. In our own poor human analysis of what God is like, we attribute various qualities or attributes to him, and these help us to form an idea or picture of God which at least points in the right direction. But the occasion on which above all we need the right attitude to God and to think rightly of him is in our prayers. We often begin our official prayers with the words like Almighty and Eternal God, and it is good for us to be reminded of God's power and might and of his timelessness. But when simple people asked Jesus quite simply to teach them how to pray, our Lord could only do so by expressing his own prayer. And he was absolutely full of consciousness of the fact that he was the Son of the Father. When Jesus made human prayer to God, he could only call upon him as Father. He felt so deeply the fact that he was Son and God his Father that he could hardly call God anything else. So when he was asked by his apostles to teach them how to pray, he did so and taught all of us too. When you pray, say, Our Father. This name for God, when we speak to him, is the basic one, and it is within the context of the name and reality of Father that all other things we say about God must be contained. A small child lives constantly in the company of its father and mother, and its whole world outlook is based on them. It relates everything to them and desires to bring them into everything. It's not just showing off that prompts a child to drive its parents nearly mad by asking them to watch everything it does. The child is conscious of being incomplete in itself and finds its fullness in its parents' company, its completion there. Something is missing if its parents are not there, even if it is doing something interesting in itself. We are never complete when we live without the consciousness, at least in the background, that we are in the presence not only of God, but of our Father. It is from him that all families take their name and get their reality. A father is the father of a family, and knowing oneself as son of one's father forces one to know oneself as a member of one's father's family. It follows, and experience proves it, that to be fully conscious of being a son of your father necessarily carries with it a consciousness that you are a brother or sister of other members of the family. If we only come to know ourselves, if we only find out who we are, if we only find our identity in consciousness of ourselves by knowing our father and feeling ourselves to be his sons or daughters, that identity also includes a sense of brotherhood. I doubt if Jesus could have taught us to call God our Father if he had not also told us to love one another as brothers. This is not just because of a law God has laid down, so that only by obedience can we be sons of God. It is in the nature of things for us as humans that relationship with a father involves relationship with his other children. The fact that the man next to me is my brother is not just something I must accept as a teaching from Christ intended to make me treat my neighbor well. I can't feel that God is my Father in the depths of my heart and in the depths of my soul unless I also feel that his other sons are my brothers. It's not a question of deduction or logic. You can't feel your identity as a son if you don't feel your identity as brother, too. You cannot love God if you do not love your neighbor. It's not just that God will not let you love him unless you love your neighbor. You can't love God unless you know him as Father, and you can't love him as Father unless you feel you are his child. And you cannot feel you are his child if you do not feel you belong to his united family. The fatherhood of God makes us one. It would be very rash of me to suggest that anyone should make less efforts to please God, or less efforts to pray well, or less effort to avoid sin, or less effort to live a good Christian life in every possible way. We want to do our best for God. We want to be a credit to Jesus and to Mary, for they bring us to God our Father. But if our efforts are uneasy, tense, anxious, fearful, and constrained, and so on, then they're not really the way to behave in the presence of a Father such as God is. Peace and tranquility in our efforts do not mean that we're not trying hard enough. They do mean that we are trying to please our Father and not our judge. If you know God as Father, you can be happy and at peace long before you have achieved any noticeable perfection. There's not room for lack of confidence when you are the son of your Father. This is my Son, Abba, Father, our Father who art in heaven. When Jesus was talking about love, he said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you." It is God the Father's Father love that Jesus reveals to us in the way he treats us. It is a Father's love for his Son that Jesus passes on to us, and of course the Son's love for his Father coincides with that love, for there is only one Holy Spirit, and the love of Father for Son and Son for Father are one love, drawn from both or breathed out by both. It is a Father's love for us that Jesus mediates to us, which enables us to love God with a Son's love, with Jesus' love poured out in our hearts. How essential is our relationship of Son to Father in our love and service of God. No wonder Jesus said that we have to become like little children to enter the kingdom of God or to receive it. Only a little child preserves the full Son to Father relationship. In ordinary life, as we grow beyond early childhood, we decrease our dependence on parents and our feeling of belonging to them and depending on them. And we begin to become adult and to build a life of our own outside our own original family. This is natural and necessary within reason, but we never grow out of our heavenly family, nor do we ever cease to be utterly dependent on God our Father for all things, even though we rightly have and exercise free choices and think for ourselves. It is arguable which it is that keeps us from union with God more: our lack of appreciation of the fatherhood of God and of our sonship, or our lack of brotherhood with other people, which flows from having the same Father. I suppose some people who lack confidence in God and think he is severe seem to be very brotherly to other people, while some who have great confidence in God's fatherhood do not love or trust their neighbours as brothers. In fact, however, confidence in God as Father is a sham if we don't love our brother, and love for our brother is a sham if we have no confidence in God as Father, that Father of ours. We're not perfect in this life, and we shall not be perfect as sons or brothers, but we can improve all through our life. While we are trying to improve, it is our perfect Father in his love and mercy who is helping us and close to us. He doesn't wait until we fully appreciate his Father's love before he begins to exercise it over us. Fathers seek out their wayward sons long before the sons repent. God does not repudiate his sons if they sometimes quarrel either, though he doesn't like us to do that. Let us, out of our longing for God and for union with Jesus, the Son of God, try to become more truly sons and daughters of God with that extremely personal relationship with God that enables us to begin the Our Father and get no further, sometimes at least, no further than the first two words, because they are so deeply consoling and so very much help to us to realize who we are and that we are deeply loved. Although it's not very easy to love everyone, we are not asked to feel an attraction to everyone or even to suppress successfully every feeling of antagonism or dislike. Feelings are caused by many influences and are not necessarily caused by our hearts. You can love someone and do good to that person even if you feel a strong repugnance, if you realize that he is your brother or she is your sister, and that Jesus, the Son of God, is in that person. There was a very young, small African boy struggling with great difficulty along the track, carrying a much larger boy. And a passerby asked him, "Don't you find that very heavy burden too much to carry?" And the little African boy smiled, showing his extremely white teeth, and said, "He's not heavy, he's my brother. His yoke is easy and his burden light." The fatherhood of God and the brotherhood of man makes all burdens light. Jesus has carried them all for us, and his strength is in us, if he's in us and we in him. It's so important for us to have this filial feeling, to be children of God and feel it, that Jesus, whose one ambition is to make us sons of God in himself, has given us his incomparable mother to be our mother. We don't quite make it as children of God if we're not children of Jesus' mother, for the Son of God is the Son of Man and the Son of Mary. If we are to be identified with Jesus, we must not only know God as our Father, but Mary as our Mother, for we are sons of God in the Son of God and in no other way. The more we conform to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the more we are sons of God the Father, and also sons of Mary. Christ, the new Adam, fully reveals man to himself and brings to light his lofty calling, and he does it in the very revelation of the mystery of the Father. Christ has risen again, destroying death by his death, and has given life abundantly to us, so that, becoming sons in the Son, we may cry out in the Spirit, Abba, Father. Our true identity is found, and we find ourselves in the Blessed Trinity, our God, living as sons of the Father, in the only begotten Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. We have a threefold and a single relationship with our triune God. Contemplation begins when we are aware in our very bones that God, who is love, is our Father, and we are his sons of love in Christ, and everyone is our brother. Eternal life is a relationship between a Father and a Son, expressed in a Holy Spirit, a life in which we truly find ourselves and know ourselves in an ecstatic joy of union with God and with one another. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.